For that this morning. And Lord, as we praise you that first of all, we are allowed to gather here together as your family. That Lord, we are allowed to be here and we're allowed to worship you and we're allowed to celebrate you. Lord, thank you that we can do that we can be here together, that we can, as you have called us, we can encourage one another, love one another, share our burdens with one another. Thank you that we can do that, Lord. And Father, we praise you that Inga is back at home. Lord, that she's been released from the hospital, and Lord, she's mending and continuing to heal. And so we pray for her, and we pray for Frank. We pray, Lord, that you would continue to give to them your strength. And Lord, we pray that for Rose and for Linda and George and Ken and Sam and Lori as well. We pray, Lord, that for them that you would continue to strengthen them each and every day, and Lord, heal them in whatever way you see needs healing. Father, we pray that we would be an encouragement to those who are walking through those times of just uncertainty. Lord, we think of even those other needs of Vince and Herman and Peter. Lord, we pray for them as well and lift them to you. And for those, Lord, who can't be here, for Mary Hafner, Annette Kreider, and Mary Warkentine, and Sophie Zielinski, Lord, we pray that today they would be encouraged and today they would know your comfort and your strength and your peace in their life. Father, we think of those who are grieving for the Vickers family on the passing of Don's uncle, Dale, and we pray for the Brack family, Lord. We pray that you would be ever so close to them and that they would see you as their comforting strength. Lord, we know that you have called us to minister in this way, to come and pray for one another. So we do that to your glory and honor. And Lord, we think of tomorrow evening as the ladies go to minister in the women's facility, correctional facility at Pine Grove. And Lord, we pray that you would protect them. And Father, we pray that it would be a time where they would point to who you are, that they would proclaim, Lord, the Savior, that they would point properly. God, thank you for them as they minister so faithfully, even here and beyond here. Lord, thank you once again that we can come with joy into your house and we can proclaim your name together. We do this to your glory and to your honor. And all God's people said, amen. Wow. As Pastor Jeremy was saying, that candy canes are not the healthiest for their children, I was thinking that candy canes for our children weren't healthy for us as parents, because they were like rubber bands bouncing on them. I don't know if that's what you're meaning, but Christmas. How many of you know it's coming? Some of you don't. It is. It's coming. Getting excited? How many of you are excited? Great. Yeah, how many of you are getting tired of raising your hand? Okay. In a Peanuts cartoon strip, good old Charlie Brown says to Linus, he says, "Life is just too much for me. I've been confused from the day I was born. I think the whole trouble is that we're thrown into life too fast. We're not really prepared." And so Linus asks of good old Charlie Brown, "What did you want? A chance to warm up first? You know, to life? Did you get..." Boy, that was. I got to put my mic down so I can see what I'm doing here. Better off if I don't have my mic on, obviously. Warm up. Warm up to the idea. That's what Advent is all about, warming up. In fact, we're so, some of us, we have children, so they warm up the car. You know, warming up. Some of us, we warm up prior to exercising. You know, I do this. You know, that's my warm up. Before I go for my walk to the car that's warmed up. Warm up. Warm up before we shape up. Gotta warm up. Shape up. Shape up. Shaping can mean so many things. I mean, we can mean physical shape. You know, we say some people are round. Some people are like toothpicks. Some people are tall. Some people are not so tall. You know, physical shape we could talk about. We could mean our emotional shape. This morning I want to talk about how Christmas shapes us. I mean, what season is better to shape us than the Christmas season? There's the hustle and there's the bustle, the school programs to attend. There's parties to bake for. There's neighbors to greet. There's people to meet. There's malls to creep. There are so many ways in which we're invited to get into shape. The bow flex, the string flex, the make flex, it's all out there for you. But I do not think anything stretches us quite like Christmas. There's always something new to catch our eye at Christmas. Even the price upgrades. A woman, she goes to the post office to buy stamps for her Christmas cards. And she says to the clerk, she says, "May I have 50 Christmas stamps?" And the clerk says, "Oh, what denomination?" And the woman says, "Oh no, don't tell me it's come to this. All right, give me 6 Catholics, 12 Presbyterians, 10 Lutherans, 22 Baptists." Shaping up! Christmas, all around us, there's stuff, activities, things, events that all talk about Christmas. But how are you shaping? How are you shaping up? Christmas is shaping the heart. I invite you to turn to the book of Zephaniah. It's a great passage in the Old Testament, Zephaniah. I heard a cute story the other day about the Old Testament. It was so great. They were handing out Gideon Bibles into the schools in grade 5, and principal in this old country school, he said to the grade 5 class, "You know what?" He said, "When I was your age," he said, they handed out Bibles to my class too, and one little child put up his hand and piped up and said, "Was that the Old Testament?" Sorry. That was great. Brian's probably going to tell you that story at some point, but you just laugh anyway. Christmas is shaping the heart. In the Old Testament book of Zephaniah, chapter 3, and I'm going to look at verse 14 to 17 this morning, but I think that this is probably the most intense and stressful time of the year, Christmas, because we have overbooked agendas. They make us overextended, and stress makes itself known in every shopping mall that you walk into, every holiday party that you're part of, even at church Christmas program rehearsals, choir practices. It can become stressful. But have you ever noticed that even at those stressful, intense times, it can happen? In the midst of it all, joy bursts in. It interrupts the stress with relief. The darkness with light. The turmoil with peace. The prophet Zephaniah wrote during an intense, stressful, anxious time for God's people. Yet the closing words of this chapter grant the joy that needs to interrupt the schedule of the world. See, Zephaniah understood the need for the joy that only God gives. He knew that the foundational promise of God needs to permeate the heart of every child of God. And I love what the words that are used in this very text in the New International Version. In fact, look at verse 14 of chapter 3 of Zephaniah. "Sing, O daughter of Zion, shout aloud, O Israel, be glad and lament." No, "rejoice with all your heart, O daughter of Jerusalem." Wow. Those words, they're often found in our lips. So we sing a Christmas carol or a hymn, "rejoice, be glad." We're so good at singing about rejoicing. We speak about being glad. But what is in our heart? What is really going on deep within the person that we are, is the joy gone from Christmas? Is there simply finger pointing, criticism, replacing the joy that Christ came to give? That's exactly what was occurring during Zephaniah's days. The world was feeding the agenda. The enemy was using every tactical moment he could to destroy the believer. And he was succeeding. And so Zephaniah the prophet, he proclaims, "Sing, O daughter of Zion, shout aloud, O Israel. Get excited, be glad, rejoice with all your heart." Not just some of it, all of it. How are you singing today? What words are you singing and proclaiming? The words, "I want, and I need, and I see, and I'm upset that you did this, and I want you to do that, and I think that needs to be changed, and oh honey, no, no, you're buying me the wrong thing." We went shopping yesterday. How many of you went shopping? Yeah. How many of you were in a line shopping? Yeah, how many of you picked the wrong line? I was with you. Told Joan and the kids, "You go to the car, it'll only be about like a few minutes and 30 minutes. You know, the line. Did I get upset? Was I shouting with joy? Wish you could have seen me. Sing, shout aloud, be glad, rejoice with all your heart. Doesn't that sound like Christmas? Should. I believe the problem with Christmas is not that we're busy, don't have enough room for things. I believe the problem with Christmas is that we've forgotten to be like a child. Rejoice. Be glad. We should always be counting our blessings. We should always be thankful. That's the heart of Christmas. That's the shaping, the heart shaping of Christmas. Be glad, enjoy, enjoy what God has given. Those are the words of Zephaniah. Rejoice and be glad. It's like this 3 years old, 3-year-old girl ripping into a Christmas present. You know, you've seen the image many times. You lived it. I have news for you, you did. Ripping it open, 3 years old. Picked up the toy. "Oh," she said, "I've wanted one of these ever since I was a little girl." That's how Christmas is shaping. Michael DeDuit said, "The marvelous thing about the joy of Christmas is that we didn't know we wanted it until it came. And the minute we first beheld God's glory wrapped in swaddling cloths, we knew it was what we always wanted, what we had always needed, because it fills us with such joy." See, the presence of God brings joy. So often we neglect God's presence during this time of year because it's the season in which we're so crowded with celebration that we forget, or we neglect the reason to celebrate. And nothing suffers more than our heart. We're so busy searching for a Merry Christmas that the Christmas Mary delivered is neglected. According to legend, Satan and his demons were having a Christmas party. As the demon guests, the demonic guests were departing, one grinned, you know, one of those grins like this, and said to Satan, "Merry Christmas, Your Majesty." And at that, Satan replied with a growl, "Yes, and keep it merry. If they ever get serious about it, we'll all be in trouble." It's time to get serious about it. It's the birth of the baby, the coming of God. It's the intervention of God's presence among men. Joy entered the world. you know him? Can you sing from your heart about that joy? Because that's what Christmas is all about. And that's how our Christmas is shaped, by that event that is continuous. Praise God. Remember, you cannot give away something that you do not have. You always have to buy a gift to give it away. You always have to, some of you, you receive a gift and then you give it away. You always have to have something on the shelf. You write a poem, you do something, you pick up the phone. You always have to do something to give away. Do you have the joy of the event in your heart? See, Christmas is shaping the heart, but Christmas is also shaping the mind. If you look in the passage here, verse 15, the Lord has taken away your punishment. He has turned back your enemy. The Lord, the King of Israel, is with you. Never again will you fear any harm. And verse 16, on that day they will say to Jerusalem, do not fear, O Zion. Do not let your hands hang limp. Not only does the presence of God bring joy, but as Zephaniah clearly explains, the presence of God removes fear. We've talked about this before, but it's so necessary for us to understand that God gives us confidence. He gives us strength. There's a trust factor involved. You've got to believe God. Because he isn't surprised by anything that we walk through. He isn't, oh, I can't believe you're walking. Look at Peter, come on over here. Abraham, look at this. Noah, oh, it's raining. He's not surprised. Nothing shocks him. You see, if I have a situation that's upsetting me, I just can't get a grip on it, you know what I do? I start to worry more about it, wondering how I can relieve the situation better. Till I reach a point where I come and I pray and I leave it with God to handle. I have to leave myself open to being used by God if necessary. I think there's more fear around the season of Christmas than at any other time of year. I think people become worried. I think they become concerned, worried about their mortgage, worried about stuff, concerned over things, lamenting over life. But God's presence brings peace. What we need is a good dose of him, the Christ of Christmas. Just as the manger was God and his interruption to a needy world, God interrupts the stress of our lives with relief, the darkness with light, the turmoil with peace. But you have to allow the interruption in order to receive the blessing. That's why it's critical for me to come and just spend time and talk to God in prayer. Sometimes I yell at him because I'm concerned and I'm worried and I'm hurting. But I pray to him. Philip Yancey said it well when he said, prayer is cooperation with God. You know why that is? Because I think prayer so often is the only quiet moment in our life. It's the time where the counselor communicates subtly. And God's, he desires more than anything that closeness with you. You see, the virgin birth, the virgin birth is much, much more than a Christmas story. It's a picture of how close Christ will come to you. Where did Christ first come? In the womb. Inside of Mary. And he issues to every one of us. He says, here's the invitation for you. Just like Mary. If you'll let me, I'll move in. He said in 1 John, I think it's chapter 3, he said, Those who obey his commands live in him and he in them. Christ will do what you cannot do. Christ can. He lives within you. Can't stop worrying? Christ can do it for you. Because he lives within you. You can't forgive the past or forsake your bad habits. Christ can do all that because he lives within you. He wants that time where peace reigns in your mind, where you're consumed with nothing else except God. That's all he asks. He just says, take time for me. Not just at Christmas, but with our very living, we should with joy present a request to God. With thanksgiving, we should be thankful. We should count our blessings. With your mind, you should take note of how God has blessed you. Felicia reminds me of this time and time again. She says, Dad, count your blessings. Take note of where God has brought relief, where he's given nourishment for your day-to-day living. Thank him. Pickles cartoon. You need a break from me.
What do you mean you have so few pleasures in life? Let me tell you, you've got plenty of pleasures in life. You've got me. You've got, plenty of pleasures in life.
Apparently, my cup runneth over. Yeah. Maybe that's where you're at today. Take time to get close. When you allow the true Christmas event to enter everything that you do, and you begin to notice the immense blessings God gives, and you recognize the presence of God more and more and more and more. That's how Christmas is shaping. Christmas is shaping the heart. Christmas is shaping the mind. Christmas is shaping the soul. You've got to look at Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 17. And you've got to underline that. And you've got to put a little earmark page that. I mean, because you've got to see this. I love this verse. The Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. He will take great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. Wow! Isn't that incredible? Zephaniah's closing words, the joy cannot be contained. The Lord your God is with you. That's where we find joy. The birth of Jesus Christ, as we learned last week, Emmanuel, God with us, is when God bursts in and interrupted our world with joy, gifted us with pardon for our sins, peace in place of turmoil, light in place of darkness. That is the very reason we sing. But listen, he will delight in you. God delights in you. Did you know that? He delights in who you are. He will quiet you. How many of you need some quiet right now? Okay, I'll be quiet. Okay, that's long enough. He will quiet you with his love. How many of you need to feel truly loved, warts and all today? God, he does all this and more. Listen, he will rejoice over you with singing. I mean, not only do we sing praise to him and extol his name and rejoice and be glad, God sings over us as well. And if you listen, if you take the moment to quiet yourself and listen, you can hear him singing and rejoicing over you. A few weeks ago, I received a small satellite dish from someone who didn't require it anymore. It was an elliptical dish, and I thought, you know, this thing's got to be easy, because we have this big, large dish on our roof, and I thought, you know, I'll just climb up there, and I'll take down that dish, and, you know, leave the bracket there, and I'll just put this elliptical one up, you know, in place of it, and, you know, it's very simple. It's got to be easy. nothing to it. I mean, I'm an electronic genius. So I you know, I'm leading up to the story. I called the provider, and they explained how, you know, how to point the dish, what diameter to point it, how to set the pitch. And I thought, you know, this is just, I even said, this is so easy. Yeah, and I climbed up on the roof, and I took the old dish off, and it was fairly windy that day, and I almost went with it. And I placed the new dish, I placed it in the bracket, and I pointed it in the direction that I was told, and I did my best, I mean, to point it. This is how you point a dish. And then I screwed the bolts, you see? That's me screwing the bolts here. And then I let go of the dish, boom, and then, you know. So I tightened the bolts, I got it all tight, and I thought, I'm brilliant. I mean, so I climb off the roof, and I get down, and, okay, you need a signal between 50 and 60 to get, you know, any kind of good reception. So I turn on the TV, and there was no signal. At that, I thought I should maybe panic, but I turned to the, you know, to the signal part, and it said 20. I went, oh no. So I thought, well, I can fix this. This is very simple. I'm married. And this isn't like doing wallpaper or anything. I mean, this should be fairly easy. So I called out Joan, that's my wife, and I said, Joan, could you just come and sit here, and when that reaches 50, can you like yell really loud? Because I need it 50. She said, no problem. So I get off the ladder again because I took it, put it away and everything because, you know, I thought I was a pro. And I put the ladder up and I go up on the roof and I'm, you know, turning this and I'm not hearing anything from inside the house. So I thought, well, I mustn't be hit, you know. So I'm, you know, our neighbors, they must have just thought, there's Devin doing a jig again, you know. And I'm like this, you know, on the roof. So she comes out, what? I said, you're supposed to tell me when it hits 50. All it's done is gone down, she said. You've done nothing. So I'm turning, and she's yelling, 19, 20, 19, 18, 15, 25, oops, 14, went on and on and on. I became more and more frustrated. I couldn't take it anymore. I got off the roof. I called the service provider again. I explained what I was trying to do. This fellow said, okay, so you went up on the roof. I said, yeah. You pointed it in the right direction, yeah. Okay, so what was the exact location that you were pointing it? I said, well, the way the other one was. No, no, but according to your compass. I said, compass? Well, yeah, your compass. I said, well, no, I don't have a compass. Oh, no, this is beautiful. He said, this is great. No, you haven't done anything wrong. Everything's good. Don't worry about it. Don't panic. Everything's good. This is probably the best. Did you adjust the skew to this? I said, yes, I did. Oh, okay, perfect. You've done really well. You've done great. Sir, here's what I want you to do, he said. Listen very carefully. Go back on the roof. I said, yeah, Go back up on the roof. You know where you bolted your new dish to? I said, yes. I bracketed, there's a bracket sticking up. I bolted the dish to that. He said, very good. And I'm part French, so I, even when I'm talking on the phone, I'm describing like this. He said, well, loosen the bolts from there. I said, okay, I'll do that. And he said, and take the new dish off. I said, okay, that's fine. He said, and then once you get the new dish off, put that old bigger dish back up the way it was, tighten the bolts, you're away. I said, what? Well, didn't you get TV before with the bigger dish? I said, yeah. You're set. That's all you need to do. And what time would be a good time for them to come out and install a new dish for you? I didn't know I needed a compass because I wasn't told I needed a compass. Because, you see, the compass points you in the right direction. Without it, you can do nothing. You can do nothing without a compass. That's Jesus. And we so often get out our ladder, climb on the roof, try to set things the way we want them set, think we can handle the job well and get it done well, and so many times we never get the right signal. See, God is our compass. He's our direction. He's our guide. and he's with us, and he's mighty to help, and he takes great delight in you. Give his love, he says, to quiet us, rejoices over us with singing. Who better to spend time with than the compass that we so desperately need, especially at Christmas? But when we're walking and being shaped throughout life, this is the warm-up to real living. Amen? You know this. As you walk through various circumstances, hurts, trials, perplexing situations, God is with you. And as you're ready to burst from stress, overcome with anxiety, or even just struggling to complete it all, God is ready for you. And know this. Through it all, he is shaping you. As long as you're learning what it is that he desires for you to know. You can only know this by spending the time with him, getting closer to him, snuggling up to him, being comforted by him. And the next time you feel about to burst from stress or anxiety, stop and allow God to use this moment to shape you more like him, and quietly say, "Joy to the world. The Lord is come." Say that with me. Joy to the world. The Lord is come. Say it one more time. Joy to the world. The Lord is come. Let's bow our heads, close our eyes. I'm going to ask the worship team to come up here. While your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, I invite you to spend some time with the author of joy. Speak to him and talk to him. Maybe you need to talk to him and say that, you know, I've neglected the compass. You need to spend time with the compass in your life so you don't make errors. Maybe you've spent enough time just trying to get things right, the right directions on your own. And this morning you know you need to speak to the director of your life. And that's him, the manger, Jesus Christ. Maybe you haven't allowed yourself to be interrupted so much with him, even through this Christmas season. Allow yourself to be interrupted. Allow him to enjoy you. Allow him to sing over you. Maybe right now this morning you just don't feel that joy. I invite you even now, as every head is bowed, every eye is closed. Maybe you just want to say to him, say, "I know that there's joy in this world, and it's you, Lord. I invite you to come and invade my heart, my mind, my very soul, to interrupt me and take over. And allow him to do the worrying for you, and allow him to take your concerns and bear your burdens. Allow him to take it all so that your joy may be full." This morning I invite you to rejoice and be glad in him. Maybe you would just want to say, "Joy to the world. The Lord is come." Maybe you want to say that to him this morning, just quietly where you're sitting, saying, "I know you've come." And they ask the instruments to play softly, "Joy to the world, the Lord is come," while your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed. And I want you to think about that joy. I want you to think about the manger. I want you to think about the cross. I want you to think about the open tomb. All that he walked through to bring you joy. While your heads are bowed and eyes are closed, let's just sing that one verse. Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth proclaim. Let every heart prepare him room. And heaven and nature sing. Have you made room in your heart? Have you made room in your heart for him this Christmas? And every heart, prepare him room. Have you made room? Maybe you need to talk to him this morning and say, Lord, I'm going to prepare room for you right in my heart. Invade me. Interrupt me. God, I want you to be there. I want to extol praise to you. To you be the glory, God, this morning. In your name we pray. Amen. All God's people said, amen. Let's sing that to him.